Cherry, you downloaded it?
I did, actually.
I think the one that uploaded was PDF.
Uh-huh.
So this is PDF, okay.
It's PDF, actually, yes,
okay.
That is true.
Okay. Khair, Sheikh, let's begin, inshallah.
Khair, inshallah, ta'ala. Okay, I'm going to show, it's a PDF file, but it looks exactly like the PowerPoint, inshallah. So each page is basically one slide. And you should be having about 36 pages, inshallah, meaning 36 slides. And as we move, I'm going to be basically pointing you to the to where we where we're covering at the moment, and I'll give you, inshallah ta'ala, the number of the slide as we start moving from one to the other. Hopefully, inshallah, actually we lost about 30 minutes really from the time of this presentation, but inshallah we'll try to catch up as much as possible without taking too much extra of your time in the ladder. So we apologize for this, and inshallah we're ready to go. Bismillah. الحمد لله رب العالمين صلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا ثم أما بعد. We are right now, inshallah, at slide number one, which is just the general first cover of the class, and the theme of the class heavily used. This is exactly the cover that you're gonna see inshallah ta'ala on the book that you will be receiving for heavenly hues, inshallah azza wa jal. And now I'm just moving from the cover page to slide number two, or page number two in your PDF file. The introduction. And have you ever wondered? This is a question, subhanAllah, that comes to my mind all the time, specifically after I had that incident long time ago, many years ago, when I was in Bosnia. One time I was praying Salat al-Isha behind the Imam. The Imam, alhamdulillah, he was Hafiz al-Quran, and he was even Bosnian. His Arabic was kind of a little bit introductory and then just basic. But he was, mashallah, Hafiz al-Quran, and this citation was reasonable. So one time he was reciting from Surah Al-Baqarah, and next to me there was an old man who was my neighbor, actually, close to my area. And he was just standing next to me. He's probably in his 60s, 50s or 60s. So at some point when the Imam was reciting a specific ayah, I kind of unintentionally nodded my head in kind of feeling a reaction, natural reaction to what I heard in the Surah, in the Quran. But I didn't really pay much attention to that action at all until I finished the Salah. So this neighbor of mine, he turned to me and he said, "Can I ask you a question?" Of course, in the Bosnian language. And I go, "Go ahead." He says, "Did you just?" He said, "Why did you basically nod your head in the salah?" I said, "Well, nothing. I just made a reaction towards what I heard from the recitation." And he goes, "So he was so shocked and surprised." He says, "So you want to tell me that you understand what the Imam recites?" And wallah, it did not hit me that much until, I mean, I never actually thought about it until he asked me that question then. And I said, yes, I guess. And then he goes, really, really, do you understand what the Imam recites in the Salah? And I said, honestly, yeah, but sometimes I would of course, definitely a tafsir to understand deeper and so on. But he said, no, just basically what he says, what he recites in the Salah. You really understand that? So I said, yes, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. Being, of course, an Arab who understands the Arabic language, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. So he cried. And then he turned to me again and he goes, when am I going to live to reach that level of understanding the Quran? He was one of my students, even though he was in his late 50s, early 60s probably. He was one of my students who was so eager to learn the Arabic language, to understand the Quran without the need of dictionaries, without translation, without interpretation whatsoever. He just wanted to understand the Quran. So have you ever wondered why will you read in the Quran? Have you ever wondered what does that word mean? What's the meaning of this ayah? Why do we have these words, رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ so frequently? Why do we hear this word, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا frequently in the Quran? What does it mean when we have names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala associated together in one, let's say, ayah frequently? الرحمن الرحيم, they come together most of the time, for example. Why do we have words like as-salah and as-zakah associated together for so many times in the Quran, repeated together? Why do we have الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات, those who believe and do righteousness and so on? So always come together so much in the repeated in the Quran. Have you ever wondered if you truly understand the meaning of a book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So this class, Heavenly Hue, will help us bi-idhnillahi azza wa jal give the Quran a complete different meaning. And I'm warning you from now, this class will change your life. And this class is going to give you complete different perspective when it comes to understanding the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, alhamdulillah, I know that you did a translation. I know that you did probably tafsir. I know you probably even understand Arabic. And when you read the Quran, you will definitely understand that. But the way we understand the Quran through the themes of the Quran, completely different from anything that you probably have experienced in your life. That actually answers the question, have you ever wondered why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the Quran to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and made it his final message and made it his final miracle? So the miracle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came in a form of a spoken word, means a book that you can read it, you can recite, you can listen to it. What is so special about it? Why this book was made a miracle? By understanding the topics of the Quran, by understanding the themes of the Quran, the language of the Quran, even the recitation itself, the beauty of the recitation itself, not like any other book, the easiness of memorizing the Quran, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised those who strive, they would memorize the Quran. The message of the Quran is so unique. Without knowing all these topics of the Quran, it will be very hard to understand and realize why the Quran came down as a final miracle. Actually, I would like just to make one, I would say, clause over here, that when we speak about the Quran in this class, well, I want you to understand and realize that we are going to be dealing with the Quran differently. So, inshallah ta'ala, we're going to be discussing the message of the Quran in this class, the message of the Quran, not necessarily the literal translation, interpretation of the words of the Quran. What was the message of the Quran regarding specific topics? That's what the Quran, that's what this class is all about. Based on this, we move on, inshallah ta'ala, to slide number 3. Please, if you haven't downloaded that, you can go to the forums, forums.almaghrib.org, the announcements, where you have heavily Al-Minar. Go there and download the PDF file, which has the slides that, inshallah, we're going to be discussing together. We are right now on slide number 3. So please, if we move on to slide number 3, where it says what heavenly hues is all about. This is the actual table of content that you will see in the book when you receive it, inshallah ta'ala. What exactly the class is going to be teaching. So this is what you're going to be receiving, bi'idhnillah, on those two weekends. You might say, subhanAllah, that's all. And you see that on only one slide. That's nothing then. Am I going to really be going to be covered this on two weekends? Well, you just wait, inshallah, and see for yourself. This is even one of the probably longest class I've ever taught with the Maghrib Institute. And wallahi, even though I have covered so many topics, I still feel guilty that I was unable to give the Quran, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the haqq that it deserves. Why? Because there's so much that can be given, subhanAllah. There are so many topics that can be discussed and can be given. So again, slide number 3, where we said what heavenly hue is all about, we're going to be covering, inshallah, part 1. Part 1, just introductions to the class. And in these introductions, we're going to be talking about definitions. What's the definition of tafsir itself? What are the definition of the other aspects of tafsir as well? And then we're going to be discussing, inshallah, ta'ala, the history, how the discipline of tafsir in Islamic library came to become an independent science from the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam throughout, of course, the historical periods of the time of Islam until our time, bi'idhnillah azza wa jal. Part 2 from the class, inshallah, will be the approaches of tafsir. How the ulama dealt with the Quran. They dealt, of course, differently. They had different specialties, different interests. But the way they approached the Quran, the later generations, they figured out, of course, specific methodologies that became the most prominent and most common. And we're going to teach you how the ulama approached the Quran, inshallah, azza wa jal, including chapter 3 of that, which is a thematic tafsir, that contemporary approach that we're going to be discussing in this class, inshallah, azza wa jal. When it comes to thematic tafsir, we're going to be discussing three major approaches of thematic tafsir. And that's number 1, the examination of one word or term. Number 2, the examination of a single surah. And the examination of one particular subject. So we are going to be dealing, inshallah ta'ala, with different approaches when it comes to thematic tafsir. And then the main bulk, as you probably have seen, is in part 3, thematic studies. When we say thematic studies, it starts from number 19, page 19 on the book that you will receive, all the way until the end, 135, 136 pages. So basically, it's really going to be huge, but it's all ayat and verses from the Quran. Inshallah, we're going to explain lots of themes, lots of topics as we move on, bi'idhnillah azza wa jal. So let me show you some of these examples or from the introductions until we get into the thematic studies, bidna Allah azza. So let's move on together to slide number four. Again, slide number four or page number four, where it says chapter one, definition, and then you have linguistic definition. This is an example to show you the beauty of the Arabic language. And this is going to be a lot. When we speak about the beauty of the Quran, that's subhanAllah, something so unique that would amaze you how the Arabic language conveys messages through few letters, few words, so profound and so deep. And alhamdulillah, I would like you to announce again that in our affiliation and work with Al Bayna right now, and Al Bayna with Al Maghrib Institute, will enhance bidnillah the way you guys are going to understand the Quran and read the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm sure Sheikh Nu'man Ali Khan, I have personally listened to his speeches, and I have even watched some of those videos online. Wallahi, I'm telling you, even though I speak the Arabic language, wallahi, I'm so amazed by the way he presents the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I hope that inshallah, whenever you have a Bayna classes that comes to you or with Al Maghrib Institute, you make sure that you attend these in order to give you an extra, inshallah, to boost and even understand, profound understanding of the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. This will show you how the Arabic language is so beautiful when it comes to breaking down terminologies, even titles, words, names, and so on. So we are going to discuss, inshallah, that in linguistic definition as well as technical definitions of tafsir and different approaches of tafsir as well. As we move on to page number five, slide number five, where it says the period of the prophethood. I am a history fan. I don't know about you guys, but for me, I cannot study any subject, whether it's Islamic or even secular subject, without going through the history of that subject. So I love history because I believe without understanding the history, you won't be able to understand the contemporary, and you will never be able even to contribute to the future. So therefore, if you would like to understand the tafsir of this day, you have to go back and see how it did start first and what the ulama did until alhamdulillah you received it in the way that it is in your hand today, and so how you can contribute to the movement of tafsir for the future, bidnillah. So chapter two in this will be the history of tafsir, and it's going to be very brief, by the way, because I know not all people love really history, but this is going to be very special because here we're dealing with names like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his companions, the Sahaba, the Tabi'een, and many of the great ulama who compiled the tafsir. We are going to divide that to the four major periods. So the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his companions, and then the Tabi'een until the official and professional compilation of tafsir starts taking place. So there will be some glimpse of history, and it's very, very really, and alhamdulillah, emotional when you attach yourself to the history and legacy of these ulama. So you find everything that they have done, alhamdulillah, being preserved. And wallahi, I believe it's because of their sincere intentions in serving the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah azza wa jal has preserved their names and their contribution, even though their books did not survive to our time. Moving on to page number six. It's very important and incumbent upon us to understand that the ulama, they dealt differently, based again on their, specialties, even unique understanding of the Quran. So some of the ulama, they took analytical approach, which is a very common and traditional way of following the tafsir from the beginning, from the Quran from the beginning to the end, following the sequence of the Quran and the verses in each surah. And then you have the thematic approach, which some ulama consider to be contemporary, even though we have some, of course, reservation regarding that definition of it. And we can explain why the thematic tafsir, even though it seems to be modern and contemporary, but it had roots in history and how the ulama really contributed to that. Bi-idhnillahi tabaraka wa ta'ala. Now moving on to page number seven. Page number seven or slide number seven, where it says the definition. Thematic tafsir, chapter three, definition. This is now exactly about thematic tafsir. What does it mean? Why is it so special today? Why all of a sudden people, they talk about the Quran by saying the themes of the Quran, thematic tafsir. In the Arabic language, called at-tafsir al-mawdu'i, or mawdu'at, tafsir mawdu'at al-Quran, which means interpretation of the themes of the Quran. What is so special about it? See, nowadays, most people are, you know, getting into lots of secular education, and they seem to be stunned and surprised and amazed by the scientific discoveries and theories, whether it's in science, in literature, in theology, in all these aspects, and they're amazed by that. So now they want to say, well, you claim that the Quran is the book of Allah and the Quran is an eternal miracle. So it has to have some kind of guidance regarding these kind of topics and subjects of life. Absolutely. It is indeed very different from what used to be in the past. So this will give us, alhamdulillah, it will bring basically the Quran alive in a very contemporary way, which means you can see that everything around you, alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, has that divine message into it. That's coming, of course, from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will see how it's going to be organized in this class, inshallah. Now, moving on to page number 8, slide number 8. This is something might be controversial. Basically, who started it anyway? If we say it's something modern and contemporary, so who started it? Some contemporary scholars, they say it actually the first people who wrote in thematic tafsir were Orientalists. And we are going to have some brief explanation to the meaning of Orientalists, who are they, and why exactly this claim is valid or not valid. We're going to go through one of what is considered to be one of the earliest books or indexes of the Quran that organized the Quran in a thematic way, written by the French author Jean Lapin. And we're going to, inshallah, review it and see if it's true or not, and to basically whether to approve that claim or to disapprove it and find the legitimacy of who started the thematic tafsir to be to Orientalists or some earlier Muslim scholars. So we're going to be discussing that, inshallah. I'll link it to the time, to our time, inshallah, azza wa jalla. Following page number nine. Starting from here, this will be mostly, I would say, the bulk of this class. And we say the bulk of this class means the majority of what we're going to be studying, inshallah, it's going to be about these topics. And we have I've divided the class into three major chapters when it comes to thematic studies. Number one, discussing thematic studies based on terms and words. Number two, one surah. And number three, one theme. So the examination of one term or word, the examination of one surah, and the examination of one theme. And most of the book, inshallah, and the study will be on chapter 3. It means the examination of one theme or one topic. When it comes to surahs, we have chosen two examples, inshallah, to go over real quick so to show you the different approaches, how the ulama and how the mufassirin today are approaching surahs differently, and they have specific focus on these surahs based on what they believe to be the main theme of each of these surahs. So, inshallah, we move on to slide number 10. How about some examples or some samples? This, inshallah, will be a few samples from what you're going to see in the class. But before we go on, I would like just to give actually a recommendation for those brothers and sisters who would like to have a very easy way to take notes when it comes to a class like this, because this class is going to provide you with hundreds of verses and ayat of the Quran. And it's going to be very hard and difficult for you just to type maybe the number of the verse, I mean the surah and the ayah, or even try to write the whole ayah all together. So if you would have a software that has everything ready for you, and all you need to do is just to click on an icon to open a commentary box where you can put the explanation, the interpretation from the class. So when you go back home, you have all these, alhamdulillah, already filed into your computer. I really recommend this software, which is called Al-Mudarris. You can find it online, almudarris.org. It was actually given to me by a brother from Southern California who is working on it, mashallah, and he has done really an excellent job. I have personally reviewed the software and really recommend that for those brothers and sisters who would like to have this software during the class, inshallah, and find it easy for themselves just to take notes. Again, it's called Al-Mudarris. And you can, I believe you can find it on his website, almudarris.org. That's almudarris.org. Again, almudarris, A-L, that's almudarris, almudarris.org. If you can find this software, it's really, really, mashallah, nice and very well organized. It can help you take notes as we go through this, because you are going to take lots of notes when it comes to studying this class, inshallah ta'ala. So moving on to slide number 11 or page 11. As we said, we organized the class to begin with the examination of one term or one word. And we are going to be taking, inshallah, a few words and few names from the Quran and try to see why the Quran, how the Quran treats these words. So a sample of this, the word ummah. How does the Quran explain Ummah, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word Ummah in the Quran? There are four actually interpretation, four uses for the word Ummah, and we shall inshallah see that in the class. But that gives, of course, a sense of, you know, urgency to think about why the Quran uses the same word differently. Is there a specific, let's say, meaning when you use that same word on a different context? Does it change? Does it give it a specific, let's say, a direction when it comes to understanding the Quran? Absolutely. And we shall see, inshallah, the word Ummah is not just, you know, community. It has more than that. And we will see why the Quran used the word Ummah more in that meaning of group of people or community more than any other meaning. Some of these examples will be names of the Anbiya, like Prophet Isa, Prophet Musa, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why do we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioning the name Musa alayhi salam much, much more than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Muhammad by name was mentioned about four times in the Quran, while Musa alayhi salam was mentioned more than 180 something times. Isa alayhi salam even close to a few tens. Ibrahim alayhi salam. So why Musa was mentioned more often than Muhammad, even though this book came down to the Muslims and to the Arabs, specifically when the Prophet ﷺ received it, and Muhammad ﷺ logically would say should be mentioned more than any other prophets. But why Musa was mentioned more than any other prophet in the Quran? These things, inshallah, that we're going to be explaining in this class. We move on to page 13, or actually page 12, where it says case study, chapter 4, Surah An-Nisa. This now will be under chapter 2, the examination of a single surah. We have taken two examples. Surah Qul Huwallahu Ahad, a very short surah to explain how it's been discussed thematically, as well as a longer surah like Surah An-Nisa. In Surah An-Nisa, the main theme is social reform. And we have chosen one particular subject of all this social reform, the characteristics of the Muslim society. So how does Surah An-Nisa discuss this subject? We will see that, inshallah, that we're going to divide basically the themes of Surah An-Nisa, sub-themes under the general theme or subject of study, and how the Quran and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses all these qualities of a Muslim society. How does basically the Quran guide the Muslim to establish their Muslim society? On page 13, there is an example. So in the example, you will always see on the top the sub-theme, rules of societal engagement. And then one of these rules of societal engagement, we have al-qist, which means justice, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So justice is the rule in the society in general. How does the Quran explain the concept of justice? What does it mean? Is it only for Muslims, or is it equally for with non-Muslims who live in the same society? How this will be explained, inshallah, azza. There are other themes or sub-themes in Surah An-Nisa, such as family, zawaj, marriage, divorce, al-mirath, which is inheritance, even dealing with the aitam, the orphans, as well as the treatment, the interaction, the rules of engagement between al-ra'i wal-ra'iyya, which means the ruler and the ruled ones. So what are the rules, what are the characteristics of the Muslim societies in terms of these subjects of study, inshallah ta'ala. Then we move on to chapter 3, which is the main bulk again. The journey really begins officially, I would say, in this class on that slide. The introduction, which is the main axis of the Quran. When we discuss the Quran, the ulama, they divided the general themes of the Quran from three to four main subjects. Some of them, they make the fourth subject as part of number two. However, we just chose to make it separate so we can give it specific focus and extra attention. The main theme, the first theme, is the Tawheed and the theology. Everything related to Aqidah. Then commandments and law. That's jurisprudence, Ahkam al-Shara'iyya. History and stories. The stories of the Quran, of the perished nations, as well as the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then ethics and morality. That's mannerism, and specifically the etiquette of the social life for Muslims. The journey begins. Let's see some of these examples we will see in the class, inshallah ta'ala. Page number 15, Tawheed and theology. The concept of God, what does it mean to say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one? How does the Quran explain that? How does the Quran refute the claims of polytheism, the claims of partnership? How does the Quran explain that the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? All these things will be explained, inshallah, in details in the class. Then on page 16, slide number 16, part of discussing Tawheed and theology is the concept of guidance and misguidance. What does it mean to be guided anyway? What's the meaning of misguidance? Who has control over this, guidance and misguidance? And then who are those people who are guided and those who are misguided? What are forms of guidance and forms of misguidance? All these kind of concepts of guidance, misguidance, how can we understand this in a contemporary way? We'll find that in the Quran, inshallah ta'ala, and list that would basically bring you lots of profound understanding of these very crucial concepts of this time. And page 17, or section, slide 17, again, Tawheed and theology, life in the hereafter. We shall also inshallah discuss the issues of the Akhirah. I know that they have taken this class with Sheikh Walid Basyuni, Rays of Faith. But this one now, it's a kind of basically focused and concise and precise, specifically and exclusively from the Quran, the stations of the Day of Judgment, starting from death all the way until we get to Al-Jannah and the Nar. How does the Quran explain all these stations of the Akhirah? And here just we have an example of Al-Jannah. What else the Quran says about the hereafter? You will see for yourself, bi-idhnillah azza wa jalla. Number 18, page 18, slide 18. These are some of the other subtopics that we're going to be discussing, inshallah azza wa jalla. One of them, my favorite actually parts of this class, is the many parables of the Quran. Parables of the Quran, which means the examples, the similitudes that Allah subhanahu mentions in the Quran regarding issues in life and in theology. This is, will be an amazing experience to see examples, how Allah subhanahu brings these similitudes and these actually parables, and to reflect on them in your real life. And you see that these, they would work like abstract image. It means whoever actually has something, when they check these examples and they start reflecting on them, it would really match their situation. They feel Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala indeed is talking to them. The truth about falsehood, what does it mean? What's the meaning of the truth anyway? The evil and the evil one, what does it mean exactly? Aql and intellect, how does the Quran treat aql and intellect? The purpose of life and the akhirah, and much more to come, inshallah ta'ala, under tawheed and theology. Moving on to slide 19, page 19. Now, this is the second part, and that is commandments and law. Speaking about what is halal, what is haram, the meaning of haram, halal, the concept of obedience. Why should we obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Who's benefiting from that anyway? Is Allah benefiting from that, or is it for us? And if it's for us, how are we going to benefit from this? So basically, we're going to be discussing, inshallah, lots of beautiful things. And then we go specifically for micro discussions onto some subjects of commandment and some subjects of law. Some of these examples can be found on slide 20, page 20. Ad-du'a. Ad-du'a, you might say, wow, isn't this part of the aqidah? But you wait until when you see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands you to make du'a. So it's not just something that is optional. Allah is the one who's asking you, who's commanding you to ask Him. We see also similar to that, al-dhikr. How does the Quran treat al-dhikr? So when we discuss du'a, it's not going to be one slide. It's going to be actually everything related to the du'a in terms of what should be said, what needs to be avoided. Example from the du'a of the Anbiya, the righteous one, al-salihin, themes of du'a. Everything related to that, as well as a dhikr, the same thing. How to make dhikr? Why should we make dhikr? When is the best time to make dhikr? Everything as it is mentioned in the Quran, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another example, on page 21, slide 21, and that's one of my favorite also topics actually in this this presentation and even in the class itself, the wealth and money, money and wealth. What's the concept of it? Who owns the wealth? Who owns the money? And where is it coming from? How should we treat that? How should we be appreciative of it? And then everything that is related to money and wealth will be discussed, inshallah, in details. Moving on to slide 22, we'll have justice and criminal law, specifically international law. Since we live right now in time, unfortunately, lots of international conflicts are taking place, and some of them are taking place in the Muslim land. So what is the understanding of all these aspects, the aspect of jihad, the aspect of self-defense, the aspect of Ahlul Dhimma and so on? How should we understand that? What does the Quran say about these topics? Moving on to slide 23. That's section number 3, history and stories. So in histories and stories in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began Surah Yusuf by saying, نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ أَحْسَنَ الْقَصَصِ, that we, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking about himself in the royal pronoun, relate unto you, Ya Muhammad, the best of stories. So Allah Azza wa Jal is the best storyteller. And he is the one who relates and he narrates the best stories ever. So therefore, what does it mean? How should we understand that? And what are the examples of some of these stories mentioned in the Quran, inshallah ta'ala? One of these beautiful examples on slide number 24, page 24, Surah Yusuf alayhi salam. Surah Yusuf alayhi salam is so dear to everybody. Alhamdulillah, we have a full class about Surah Yusuf alayhi salam. But our focus over here is the continuation of the story of Yusuf into the life of Musa alayhi salam, and then Isa, and then life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How do we link them all together, specifically when it comes to discussion of Bani Israel? Today we see the situation in Gaza, and has to do with those who claim that they attribute themselves to Bani Israel, the original Bani Israel. So let's move on to slide number 25, page 25. What's the link and the connection between Yusuf alayhi salam and Bani Israel? Who was Musa and what was his relationship with Bani Israel? Where did they come from? Are those people who live today here claim to be from Bani Israel have a legitimate claim? Do they have the right to claim the land and so on based on these historical or theological claims and so on? These discussions, inshallah, we're going to explain in the class. Slide number 26. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned there's so many stories, and Allah Azza wa Jalla even mentioned people by name. So we're gonna actually bring to you some of the names mentioned in the Quran. One of them was Luqman, of the good people. And even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about wicked people like Fir'aun, Haman, Qarun. So who were they? And why were they mentioned in the Quran? For what reason? Just to give you some stories, or is it a wisdom behind, a moral behind each story and each personality being displayed in the Quran? So we are going to discuss and show some of these names of the righteous ones as well as the wicked ones mentioned in the Quran. So we move on to slide number 27, which is the final section. The final section of actually the class will be ethics and morality. Some of the social etiquette of the Muslim's life and mannerism. Some of the attributes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves that you follow. What are these attributes? Allah loves those who are muhsineen. What's the meaning of that? Those who are considered tawabin, mutatahirin, muttaqin, sabirin. All these now words that are mentioned in the Quran, and we read them, and sometimes even we just love to hear the sound of the word itself. But what does it exactly mean, and how should we reflect on it? And how should we consider this as part of the list of what we need to do to improve our life, inshallah ta'ala? On slide 28, some of these ethics and morality related to public etiquette. Some of these very basic etiquettes, like, you know, the eating greeting. How do we do that? And the etiquette of doing it. Why? When? With whom? For whom? All these kind of things related to etiquette of greeting will be explained, inshallah. And even what to say was mentioned in the Quran, subhanAllah. As well as, of course, even some of these etiquettes, inshallah, will be related to social gatherings, when people come together, sit together, when they eat, how should they do that? So there are so many things related to social life and etiquette of the family life, even, as it's mentioned in the Quran. So we can explain that, inshallah, ta'ala, for you in details. On slide 29, we have some of the noble traits that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands and recommends for believers to acquire in their lives. And we, inshallah, are going to provide you with a list of these beautiful traits that you should be working on, and how you could acquire these in your lives. As well as some of the opposite side, it means some other traits, evil ones or wicked ones that you need to avoid, how to avoid them and why we should avoid these traits in our lives. Slide number 30, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيَمْنَعُونَ الْمَعُونَ, and refuse al-ma'un, small kindness. And that's related to the interaction with neighbors. And here the ayah does not say Muslim versus non-Muslim. No, it's actually to your neighbors in general. What does it mean to be kind to your neighbor? Do they have right? How much right they have over you and so on? All these things shall be discussed as well. And there are much more that can be discussed, bi-idhnillah, later on as we go on through the class. So on slide number 31, which is the closing actually slide for the class itself, the statement of Imam al-Shatibi, rahimahullah ta'ala, that the Book of Allah Azza wa Jal is indeed has been established as the faculty of the Sharia, which means it's the foundation, the pillar of Islam. Everything, all the wisdom of this life really springs, come out from the Quran. It's the miracle. And this class, inshallah, is going to bring this miracle to life, and I'm going to give you the spirit and the message of the text of the Quran. How should we understand and how should we apply that to our lives, inshallah, tabaraka wa ta'ala. Now, this is my basically best understanding of the class, and I want you to take a few minutes and observing what other students have said about this class. I want you to open slide 32, where we have testimonials. Some students that attended this class, and some students were very skeptical about attending this class, because when they heard the word tafsir, they thought, oh my God, I don't know, I think it's going to be really boring. But I want you to read their words and their statement. Some students, they say, this is going to be my first class. Am I going to be able to understand? Would it be difficult above my level and so on? I would say, just go ahead, attend this class, and see for yourself, inshallah ta'ala. So move on to slide number 33. Slide number 33, and just read some of the words the students actually posted on the forums about this class. And I agree with them that, wallahi, this would be one of the most humbling experiences you will have, you will see in your life. I mean, when you see how the Quran speaks to you, exactly, wallahi, when the word comes out, you will feel that it's coming directly to you, and it's like basically customized specifically and exclusively for you, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking to you. And you cannot really escape those emotions and feelings when it comes to reading the Quran. So this class will definitely change your approach and the way you understand the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you move on to slide number 34, extra and more of these testimonies, some of the students who were kind of skeptical because it was the first class, but alhamdulillah, they enjoyed attending it. And I know, alhamdulillah, I can testify that this class actually alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, witnessed the Islam of two individuals. Two people who were not Muslims attended this class, and wallahi, when I was given the class, I wasn't even informed that we had non-Muslims attended these classes. And at the end of one of them, actually at the end of the first, the middle of the second weekend, announced their shahada, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. And other people who are new Muslims who attended this class, they also enjoyed it, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, being a first-hand understanding of the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. No specific influence. We did not design this class exclusively to convince or persuade or even manipulate non-Muslims. It was given to those who already understand the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, supposedly, of course, Muslims. And now you see, even those who are not Muslims can relate to the understanding of the book of Allah. And they would enjoy it. Why? Because this is the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah is talking to them. And on page 35, we will give you some homework based on, because we are going to teach you actually on how to find these terms. So for those who would like to give classes, those who would like to give halaqat, those who would like even to give a short khutbah or quick khutbah, find some kind of topic and theme, we're going to give you some tricks. Those tricks are based on search engines, and we will help you, inshallah, realize and know how to find these themes, and how you can benefit from the list of the ayat provided for you, so you can make a specific topic, a specific halaqah, inshallah, based on these themes. So you will have some homework, inshallah, you will take with you, and hopefully it will be very, very beneficial to you, bi'idhnillahi tabaraka wa ta'ala. So we make sure that when you come to this class, you come refreshed, and just open your mind and open your heart, and let the message of the Quran go through, inshallah wa ta'ala, directly to your heart. And on slide number 36, the final, inshallah ta'ala, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. And I would like right now to receive any question that you guys have about this class. And of course, I don't want to forget Brother Ammar, jazallah khair, for taking all the effort and trying to make this, alhamdulillah, successful. I know that we had some problems with that. I actually have been with him trying to solve this problem, uploading the slides on the website. Unfortunately, it didn't work. And alhamdulillah, at least we had this backup plan a little bit late, but inshallah, I hope you guys can keep this, I would say, introduction to the class as a gift for you. So you have now downloaded that on your computers. Enjoy it, inshallah, and you can share it with other people as well, bi'idhnillah azza wa jal. Last word before we open the question and answers, I would like from all the brothers and sisters who are attending this presentation to remember their brothers and sisters in Gaza in their dua, and to wake up a few minutes before Salat al-Fajr to make an exclusive, actually, Qiyam al-Layl, so they can make, inshallah, a special dua for the brothers and sisters there. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relieve them, make things easy for them, and bring bi'idhnillahi azza wa jal peace and tranquility to their hearts, their houses, and their life. Wallahu a'lam.
Jazakallah khair, Sheikh. I take this moment to remind everyone that questions need to be sent. You need to go back to the website. I know everyone has their PDFs open, but go back to ilmanar.com, inshallah, and type in your questions so that we can receive them. The first question that we have, Sheikh, I know that you touched upon this very briefly, but if you can be a little bit more specific with regards to the subject of tafsir, classical versus contemporary mufassirin. Do you have any, one brother's asking with regards to any contemporary names that you might be able to give so that people can prepare for the class of any of these contemporary works of tafsir?
Yeah, well, actually, in English language, unfortunately, there isn't really much. I've been looking everywhere. It's literally really little that I can find or recommend for that particular subject. But there are some of these contemporary subjects. One of the actually very famous books is written by Sayyid Qutb, rahimahullah, which is Al-Dilal. I know some people might have some issues, but actually, it's one of the very famous contemporary books of tafsir. There is another book, even though it's not that full, of course, in a book. It's, as a matter of fact, it's just Surah Al-Fatiha and Surah Al-Baqarah by Irfan Khan, and it's reflections on the Quran. So basically, even the author says reflections on the Quran, which means some of these thematic. This is available in English language, so a big volume by Irfan Khan, reflections on the Quran, understanding Surah Al-Fatiha and Surah Al-Baqarah. When it comes to thematic tafsir, I just want the brothers and sisters to be aware of the fact that each author is basically using his interpretation into it. So he's adding his thoughts into it. So if someone has, let's say, a specialty in medicine or being a doctor, they might take that specific shift into interpreting the verses. If someone is into geology or even theology, whatever actually the specialty, they will try to take it actually to that direction. So in English language, there isn't really much in that subject. There's a book by Sheikh Muhammad al-Ghazali, rahimahullah ta'ala, which is, I believe, it's called, I think it's called Thematic Quran or something like that. I forgot actually the title of that book, but by Sheikh Muhammad al-Ghazali. But this is just a general reflection. It does not really give a deep, you know, understanding of portions from the surah. It just, the surah by itself speaks about, you know, yani his own feelings and I would say reflections on these surahs, but without giving any specific or profound deep understanding to them. Wallahu alam. But in Arabic, there are a lot. And even actually, there is a recent book which is a huge tafsir by Dr. Wahda Zuhayli, hafizahullah ta'ala, called At-Tafsir al-Munir. At-Tafsir al-Munir. It's 17 volumes. These 17 volumes is exclusively and specifically a discussion of thematic subject in Sharia and in Aqidah. Wallahu alam.
Another, we've actually had a couple of these questions, which is, when is this class coming to Toronto?
Oh, Toronto, Allahu Alam.
I think you should mention, traveling for the sake of knowledge, Sheikh.
Wallahi, inshallah ta'ala, the closest right now to the Canadian border was last year when I came to Dearborn. But inshallah, this time it's coming very close also to Columbus, Ohio this month, which is basically next weekend. So inshallah, I would recommend the brothers and sisters, if they would like to take a journey for the sake of seeking ilm, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala count this as part of their efforts to seek ilm, and Allah will send the angels to shade them as well as send the tranquility and peace on them. As for me, coming to Canada, Allahu ta'ala alam, the situation is still hard and difficult. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was, hopefully it would be soon, inshallah.
Inshallah ta'ala. And I would also like to remind the brothers that this is one of the traditions of the people before us, is that they used to travel to seek knowledge. So take a trip, inshallah, if you can. Instead of waiting for it to come to Toronto, take a trip. It'll be an excuse for you to see Columbus, Ohio. It's an amazing place. When you go there, the hospitality is very good, mashallah. Or take a trip to go to Los Angeles, or take a trip to go to Atlanta, Georgia, inshallah, where this class will be coming. Next month it will be coming to Atlanta, Georgia. And in March, inshallah, it will be coming to Los Angeles. It will actually be coming to Atlanta, Georgia on February 13th to 15th and the 20th to the 22nd. And it will be coming to Los Angeles, inshallah, in March 20th and to the 22nd, and 28th to 29th. I remind the brothers and sisters with regards to questions that you go to the Ilmenar page. Don't post them on the forums. Come to the Ilmenar page, inshallah, and post your questions there.
By the way, regarding subhanAllah, seeking knowledge and traveling for knowledge, that reminds me with when we were students in Medina, and alhamdulillah, whenever we get a chance, we used to go to Uneza and meet with Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, as well as going to Mecca during the Hajj season and other seasons to visit other scholars who come from other places. Wallahi, even though we lived 4 years in Medina, studying the classical methodology, of course, as well as, you know, the academic way and so on, but the few months that you spend with these mashayikh and these ulama and other students of knowledge as you travel, it's more memorable than any other experience that you would have in seeking knowledge. And what is so unique is that the friendship you make during that short time that you spend there with the people of that locality will be amazing. It's not like the friendship you make in your locality. And I really still have some, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen, yani, I would say, passion to meet some of those people that I met briefly in these gatherings, in these halaqat al-ilm, more than those people that I have spent probably 4 hours with in Medina. So for those who are, alhamdulillah, are capable and able of traveling and they would like to come, wallahi, it's worth it. It's worth it. And you will see for yourself, inshallah.
JazakAllah khair, Sheikh. One brother has the question with regards to softening the heart, Sheikh, with regards to listening to the Qur'an. How does one go about developing more khushu'?
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Anfal, at the beginning of Surah Al-Anfal, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. Means the believers are those when the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when the words of Allah azza wa jalla be recited in front of them, وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. Means their hearts would shiver, basically, or feel for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah azza wa jalla says about this Qur'an, لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل. If the Quran was revealed on a mountain, لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله. That you will find it خاشعا متصدعا. It will humble itself to the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And subhanAllah, it's amazing how some people, their hearts has become harder, so much harder than anything in this creation, including mountains and rocks. So if the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not soften their heart, then they have to make a complete extreme over in their lifestyle and in the way they receive the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the things is fasting. Fasting frequently because, wallahi, fasting, it keeps, you know, it humbles, it basically helps you humble yourself as well. And when you do that, don't fast and then basically feel angry or feel just torture yourself with fasting. No, it's actually trying to get the experience, the spiritual experience of fasting. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala associated the Quran with Ramadan and the Quran with fasting. So when you have this combination, alhamdulillah rabbil alamin, would be the most amazing combination. Fasting in Ramadan and while reciting the Quran, that would be the best combination. Since Ramadan is not available for us right now, at least, alhamdulillah, the good season of fasting would be good. So you fast and you read the Quran. And there will be beautiful attachment because when you fast, you're basically feeding your soul. And the Quran would also help you feed your soul as well because, you know, there is nothing you can eat during your fasting except for feeding your soul, inshallah. So I recommend that you associate the Quran with fasting as much as you can, inshallah, azzawajal. And when you listen to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, specifically the brothers and sisters who do not understand the Arabic language, and they say, "Ya Sheikh, you're talking to those who understand it." But I don't. So in this case, regardless how much I read the Quran, I don't know really what I'm going to be reading. I would recommend that before you read that chapter or that part from the surah, if alhamdulillah, Allah blessed you that you can read the Quran in Arabic, try to read a translation of it. And as you read the translation, when you're done and you start reading the Arabic language, when you move on and you recognize one or two words, things like speaking about Al-Jannah, about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, about Isa alayhi salam, Musa, it just flashes back to that translation, puts you into the general theme and meaning of that ayah that makes you get emotional as you recite that, inshallah, tabaraka wa ta'ala. So make sure that you recite, read actually translation before you go into the actual reading of in the Arabic language. And listen to it in the Arabic language. Listen to the Quran in the most beautiful recitation. Wallahi, it helps and affects the hearts, even the non-Muslims. And I have done that personally. And deliberately, I have been actually playing the Quran when there were some non-Muslims around me, people that come basically to my office or even they come to fix something at home and so on. Wallahi, in one occasion, an immediate reaction of a worker who was working, fixing something at home, I left him actually a few minutes and came back again. And the first thing he asked me about when he saw me, he said, "What is this?" He's the thing that I was playing. And I said, "Why are you asking for?" He says, "It's so nice. It's so beautiful. It's so soothing. Basically, it just basically softened my heart." Wallahi, I was so pleased and amazed. And he says those words, even though he was not Muslim, he did not even understand the word, but he spoke the truth. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about the Qur'an. The Qur'an definitely would humble the hearts of those who have any kind of understanding. So alhamdulillah, this man actually, I spoke with him about Islam and I gave him a copy of the Qur'an. And then he left. Allahumma musta'an. I don't know actually if he ever became Muslim. But alhamdulillah, at least it's a testimony from someone who has never probably experienced reading the Qur'an. Allahu a'lam.
Jazakallah khair, shaykh. A number of people are asking questions with regard to the timetables. If you go to ilminar.com, you will see a button that is on the front page which says enroll now. When you click on that button, you will find all of the information. It will take you to the Al-Maghrib enroll page, which will, on it you will see the timetable for all the classes. So for example, you will see that it is coming to Columbus, Ohio next weekend, inshallah. It's coming to Columbus, Ohio on January 23rd to 25th. And January 30th to February 1st. So over the next 2 weekends, inshallah, Sheikh Yasser is going to be teaching this wonderful topic in Columbus, Ohio. And the address is there for the class as well. It's on the front page. Also, you'll see that he'll be teaching it on February 13th to 15th and 20th to 22nd at Atlanta, Georgia. And he will be teaching it, inshallah, in Los Angeles, California, March 20th to 22nd and 28th to 29th, inshallah ta'ala. Sheikh, inshallah, will take one final question before we end, and that question, Sheikhna, is with coming from Columbus, Ohio, as well.
Mm-hmm.
Students are asking with regards to this class, the Quran, the thematic tafsir of the Quran. The brothers asking with regards to the thematic tafsir of the Quran, is the class going to go over set themes? Is it going to take topics? Or is it going to be perfect personal reflections, your personal reflections, like you mentioned, of the book of Sheikh Muhammad al-Ghazali?
Mm-hmm.
Or are you going to go through specific topics?
Well, actually, the class is going to cover, inshallah, specific topics. That was basically, when I say specific topics, it means that many Muslim contemporary writers and scholars, what they did, they explored the Quran, trying to see what are the most common and the most, let's say, yani, frequent themes mentioned in the Quran. And they have these are based on their personal reflections. Many of these scholars, they divided the themes of the Quran to 200 and something, like the early, even Orientalists. And then some ulama came and they added even more to 300 and up and 400. And some of the ulama, they added up to 800 themes and sub-themes mentioned in the Quran. So what I did, I personally skimmed through most of these books to see the themes those scholars were talking about, and I selected some of these themes, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, and added some sub-themes based on my personal reflections into it. So it's basically a combination of an effort of contemporary scholars as well as some of my personal addition and contribution to that, to the understanding, inshallah. Overall, when we come to the interpretation of the ayah, we're not going to bring anything, I would say, radical or anything that is controversial, inshallah. No, we're going to be discussing these ayat also with the help of the analytical tafsir. We cannot teach thematic tafsir without even understanding even the analytical tafsir of that particular ayat. So we're going to explain that the connection between the two methodologies in the class, inshallah, Azza wa Jalla.
Jazakallah khair. Jazakallah
khair.
And Jazakum Allah Khair. With that, inshallah, we wrap up this ilminar. And we thank
Can I just make a quick reminder before
yes.
we close, inshallah?
Go ahead, Sheikh.
For the brothers and sisters in Columbus, Ohio, inshallah, they'll be coming very soon, bidnillah azza wa jalla. I'm really looking forward to be with you guys. And inshallah, next it will be in Atlanta. And then after that, inshallah, it's going to be in LA. I'm really looking forward to be with all of you, bidnillah. And I hope, inshallah, we all going to enjoy this beautiful journey and experience. And exclusively for the brothers and sisters in Columbus, a reminder that inshallah ta'ala, I'll be arriving on Thursday, and immediately Thursday night we will have the fundraising with MSA and Islamic Relief. the MSA at Ohio State University and Islamic Relief, inshallah, in support of our brothers and sisters in Gaza. I'm going to be giving, inshallah, a presentation. They will give a lecture, and then they will be fundraising for that noble cause. So please make sure that to be there, bring your family, bring your friends, and bring everybody that you know, inshallah, to support that, again, noble and just cause for the people of Gaza. Jazakumullah khair.
Yeah, so as the Sheikh mentioned, please make sure the brothers and sisters in Columbus to go and attend and to bring as many people as you can to aid in that noble cause, and as well to make sure that you attend Heavenly Hues when it comes to your city. This is a class, one is a class that, as the Sheikh mentioned, it's very rare for you to find in the English language. So that should be one of your driving points to take this class. Second, or before that, actually, it's about the Quran. And second, it's a class that you will not find materials. The Sheikh mentioned one or two books that are available in the English language. So make sure that you take advantage, inshallah, of Sheikh Yasir Rajas's research with regards to this topic. And inshallah ta'ala, if you have any questions with regards to the locations or information, further information with regards to registering for the classes that are coming to those areas, please email ilminar@almaghrib.org, ilminar@almaghrib.org, for any information that you would require, inshallah, with regards to taking this class. And please, before you, last week, Sheikh Muhammad al-Sharif gave an ilminar with regards to excuses. And I feel like it's a very important ilminar, and I just want to touch on to it with regards to any class that is coming to your area. If it's coming and you're going to be able to benefit from it, write down any excuses that you may have. And the Sheikh mentioned before that, after you write down your excuses, write down the real answer. Write down on top, and the real answer is, don't allow yourself to have excuses for this class. This is a class, inshallah, the class came to New Jersey. I didn't take it. I'm from New York. I didn't take it. And wallahi, until this day, I regret not taking it. And Sheikh, inshallah, I'm going to be joining you in Columbus, Ohio, so that I can take it.
Inshallah. Alhamdulillah, Rabbi Amin. Jazakallah khair. And welcome, inshallah, to Columbus. I hope the guys in Columbus will take care of you very well.
I hope so, inshallah ta'ala. I hope so. I mean, I've been to, alhamdulillah, I've heard very good things with regards to Columbus. But this is because of the fact that I missed the class. I missed the class in New Jersey, where it was close to me. And then ever since then, wallahi, everyone has been ranting and raving about this class who took it in New Jersey. And as such, I have to take a further journey. But inshallah, it's going to be worth it. It's going to be well worth it to take the class to gain this knowledge, inshallah ta'ala. So please make
inshallah
sure that you take this class. And we'll see you all, inshallah, in Columbus or Atlanta or Los Angeles. Jazakum Allahu khairan.
Barakallahu feek.
Wa feek, barak ya Sheikh. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum as-salamu alaykum.